I'm talking about the way you rode your chimera without complaint. She snorted. Do I get a trophy?
Yes, you do.
I have your trophy. In my pants. Puck, making jokes and innuendos. Do not fan your overheating cheeks. She'd only encourage them both at a time she shouldn't encourage either one of them. Although, she really wanted her trophy.
Not yet.
You do not win any prizes today. If you weren't sniping at William, you were stewing in disapproving silence.
Hate him. He's as bad as sin. What do you see in him?
Easy. Affection, fun, support. To be fair, I'd rather see those things in you.
I have something for you.
He dug into his pocket and pulled out a ring. Gift exchange. Only she had nothing for him.
This is your wedding ring.
Her heart fluttered as she accepted the glittering band, or tried to. He brushed her hand away and slid the metal over her finger. Perfect fit.
Pure amaranthian gold, he told her.
Translation, priceless. Rainbow shards glinted inside pale amber hues.
Thank you.
She knew William's comment about suffering had spurred the gift, but she cherished it anyway. A mark of Puck's possession meant to warn other males away.
But I have nothing for you.
Need nothing. Want nothing.
How sad, but also inaccurate.
You want your brother's crown so badly, you bonded to a stranger and bargained with a devil.
My crown, he interjected. Only mine.
Right. She offered him a berry. After he declined, she said, so, what did he do exactly to earn his coming doom? I know he betrayed you, gave you the demon, blah, 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 but there has to be more. And you have to tell me, since you've had your fingers inside me and all. Gaze suddenly blazing, he rubbed a hand down his swollen length. She watched, fascinated. Then he realized he was practically masturbating before her eyes. Yes, yes, continue. He stopped and fisted the palette beneath him. She swallowed a groan of disappointment.
Do not worry. I'll have my fingers inside you again, lass, soon, along with other parts of me. But not here, not now. Your pleasure is mine to enjoy, mine alone, especially for our first time, especially for your first time.
Feminine instincts sang. He was just so carnally masculine. But I've been...
No, you haven't, he said with a shake of his head.
Darling man. Beautiful beast.
As for the prophecy, the oracles predicted one brother would kill the other and unite the clans with a loving queen at his side. Both Sin and I vowed we would never marry. Instead, we would rule side by side with equal control. I don't know when he began to plot against me, only know your friend Keely Kale gave him a trinket box that contained indifference.
But why?
According to Hades, she took steps to ensure William's survival.
Puzzle pieces clicked into place, one after the other, leaving Gillian dizzy with suspicions. If Puck hadn't become possessed, he never would have needed William, or Gillian. Most likely, Keely never would have given Gillian a potion to make her immortal, and her marriage would have been a non-starter. She never would have ventured into Amaranthia or learned to use magic or faced her fears and lived her dream.
I would have missed out on all the good things in life.
But, Puck might not understand if she said, I guess I owe your brother a debt of gratitude. She ate another berry, using the time to think about her next words.
Before Sin's betrayal, you loved him?
More than I've ever loved anyone, including myself, he said.
And it was odd hearing such heartfelt words spoken without a hint of emotion.
Now, as much as I want to protect my people and realm from him, I want to watch him suffer.
Thoughtful, she tapped a finger against her chin.
If marrying a loving woman is all Sin needs to do to kick-start the prophecy and ensure you're the brother who dies, why hasn't he married the princess yet? Unless she doesn't love him. That was certainly the problem in Puck and Gillian's case, wasn't it? You'd think he'd be extra motivated since you're already married.
I have a wife, but not a loving one, he said, giving voice to her thought. And we do not kick-start a prophecy. They kick-start us.
You sure about that? You never would have acted against Sin if he hadn't first acted against you.
He never would have acted against me if he hadn't known the fate awaiting us.
Maybe, maybe not. If you hadn't guessed, I'm not the biggest supporter of fated things.
I don't believe fate plays a part in everything, only certain things.
Certain things, like marriage and death?
No. Because relationship mistakes are made all the time. Some deaths are premature, he frowned. Tell me, which do you consider more powerful, love or hate?
Love, absolutely. But what does that have to do with anything?
I believe fate works us toward love, always. But people do not always cooperate. Free will, hate, evil, whatever the reason. But I am willing to fight for the desired end, which is why I believe fate will ultimately have her way in Amaranthia. William will dethrone Sin at my behest and free you. I will find my loving queen, murder my brother, and unite the clans, saving everyone I once loved.
Good point. Perhaps Gillian needed to remain married to Puck to save the Shawazans. You could divorce me in order to meet the requirements of your vow to William, then remarry me. I could help you with your goals.
You do not meet the only requirement, remember?
He scowled, bared his straight white teeth, and moved his grip to his knees, his claws digging in deep enough to draw blood. To stop himself from reaching for her?
You do not love me. You might even despise me once our bond is severed.
But what if she did fall in love with him? It wasn't impossible. She twirled the band on her finger, not yet used to its weight. Could Puck ever love her back? Would he despise her the moment the bond was severed? Could she really help him unite the clans after she caused so much turmoil? And what if the prophecy about his life came true, unfolding exactly as predicted? Gillian would be forced to take a much harder look at her prophecy, kill her man's dreams, no happy ending. Was that the fate she wanted for Puck? Do you want me to fall in love with you? She finally asked, her tone soft, almost pleading.
I want... No, he said, growled really.
He shook his head, adamant.
I do not want you to love me.
He so totally meant those words. In his dark eyes, the pinpricks of light glowed with intractable resolve, and she wasn't upset. Nope, not even a little. Love would only complicate their arrangement. Get off and get out, hump and dump. Good, she said. All bravado. Because this queen doesn't want to be saddled with a bossy, unfeeling king. No reaction from him. Even better, she cleared her throat and returned to their original subject. So why didn't Sin kill you when he had the chance? Why go to all the trouble of infecting you with indifference and letting you walk away? Unless he loved you too and hoped to find a way to beat the prophecy and keep you both alive.
He chose the wrong way.
True. Leaning against the tree behind him, Puck crossed his arms over his chest.
Yesterday you said you find me attractive. Beautiful even. You do not mind the horns and hooves.
If he didn't want her love, why doesn't he want my love? Why did her opinion matter? If she asked, he might walk away in a huff. So she decided to go a different route and motioned to the horns with a tilt of her chin. May I? Eyes widening, he scrambled to his knees and bowed his head. Little quakes sped through her limbs as she drew nearer to him, rose to her knees as well. and traced a fingertip from tip to base along one of the spikes, warm and hard as titanium. Layers of ivory overlapped, forming multiple rings, ivory or whatever the protrusion happened to be made of. At first contact, he stiffened, then he moaned. Gillian went statue still.
Did I hurt you?
No. Don't stop. Please.
In this, he begs.
His desperation called to hers, and she wrapped a hand around the base of each horn and squeezed. He sucked in a breath, as if she just squeezed a different appendage.
I've never liked these horns. Right now I'm unsure I'll ever be able to part with them.
Blood heating.
No one has ever touched them.
I'm unsure. I never cared to say yes or no or to remember.
Simmering.
Her belly quavered, and an ache ignited in her breasts, culminating in puckering nipples, nipples currently at eye level with Puck. The ache quickly spread to the apex of her thighs, boiling now, about to reach a point of no return. Gillian released him and returned to her perch. He lifted his head slowly, his midnight sky eyes aglow with all those stars, almost as if runes ran through his irises as well as his hands. The air between them crackled with awareness, heat, and aggression.
Can't have him. Not here, not now. Distraction.
What were you like before your possession? She managed to rasp.
Why does it matter?
He eased down. I'm not that man anymore.
Humor me, then.
He hiked his shoulders in a shrug, but said,
I was known as the undefeated. If I entered a war, I won it, always. A tinge of pride layered his words. Sin would plan the battles, and I would fight them.
Victory mattered to him, even now. The fact that Sin had betrayed him, defeated him, must make his hatred for the man so much worse.
Congratulations, lass. You've defeated me.
Would he come to resent Gillian, too?
I was born with the ability to shapeshift into anyone at any time, no magic needed, he continued. I didn't have a stable, but I ensured the woman in my bed was well satisfied.
Bragging now?
No need. Baby, I have first-hand experience with your sensual prowess, remember?
Chapter 26 Puck staggered, nearly undone. Gillian had handled his horns. For the second time in 2 days, he'd nearly come in his pants like a wee lad. Now she spoke of his sensual prowess as if she would die without learning more. Anticipation frothed through him, and he thought,
I will do anything, even walk away from Amaranthia forever, to know the feel of her soft hands on my horns again, to hear her pleasure-rich voice cry my name as she comes. Fool. He wished he'd never learned the rapture of having her hands on him, the kind he'd never thought possible. Passion had ruled him, a woman had owned him. But Puck did not own her. He'd been so arrogant to think he could addict Gillian to his touch, to make her crave him forever. William's claws were embedded far too deeply in her heart. William, who gave her affection and had fun with her, who somehow made her feel supported. At least, he used to. Perhaps her feelings for the male stemmed from the past. Either way, envy seethed inside Puck, a monster more powerful than indifference. Every cell in his body screamed alongside the demon's constant wails. Win her from the other male. He hadn't given his rules a single consideration, had only thought about her. He was falling for her hard and fast, and what happened when you fell? You crash-landed and you hurt. You didn't walk away, you crawled.
Do you want me to love you?
Her question still tormented him. He'd said no, and he'd meant it. The moment he used the shears, her feelings for William would return. Puck knew this beyond any doubt. If he had her heart, only to lose it. He played her game. What if? What if she gave her heart to Puck, then took it away? What if she gave her heart to Puck, but left it in his keeping? What would he do then? What would he give up for this woman? Should he walk into the sword or continue to walk around it?
He bit back a curse. Why was he even contemplating this? The answer was simple. Walk around, always around. He would settle for her body as planned, and experience whatever satisfaction she had to offer, nothing else.
You told me about adult Puck, she said, oblivious to his turmoil. But not about baby Puck.
Ruthlessly, he turned his thoughts from love, sex, and different possible futures.
I was like anyone else, I suppose. I ate, wet myself, and cried. Not sure what more you'd like to know.
Only everything. She toyed with a blade of grass.
While you were off hunting, William, I noticed a lot of children soldiers on the battlefield. How old were you when you began training?
7.
7? She sputtered for a moment. So young.
Not young enough, according to my father. But my mother agreed with you.
Good for her, Gillian said with a nod. No child of mine will ever go to battle.
How different his life would have been if he'd had a champion like Gillian.
Then her words registered, and he stopped breathing. No child of mine. A child. Her child. Their child.
In his mind arose an image of Gillian, pregnant with his babe, an image he couldn't shake.
What kind of father would Puck be?
Daddy isn't proud of you, son. Daddy doesn't love you or care if you live or die. Stop crying before I give you a reason to cry. Besides, family made you vulnerable to betrayal, as sin had proven. Would Gillian one day marry William and birth his spawn?
As jealousy burned inside Puck, indifference reacted as if his heart had been shocked with paddles, jolting into motion, prowling across his mind and howling with pain?
Now you know how I have suffered, helpless to act, all at your behest, fiend. Cheers!
The butterfly tattoo on his chest slid over his skin, ending up on his back. Gillian noticed and gasped.
Is the demon attempting to weaken you?
Probably, but he's failing.
Back to the subject at hand.
Sin began training at 5. Though he could have stayed with our mother, he chose to accompany me to the barracks.
Sounds like a pretty cool brother.
A nod.
He was. Which had made his betrayal worse than anything.
What's your favorite memory of him?
There are too many to name.
Pick one, anyway.
He thought for a moment, sighed.
A few days after we were taken to the barracks, I threw a fit about our treatment. No soft pillows on our beds. No platters of meat fed to us by adoring women. No clean clothes. I was beaten for my insubordination. Sin, too.
This doesn't sound like a happy memory.
I'm getting there, he said. Patience, Grasshopper.
Grasshopper,
she grinned, and his gaze zeroed in on her mouth. Hunger clawed at him, but he forced himself to go on as if nothing was amiss.
I expected him to complain, to hate himself for joining me, to hate me more for not insisting he stay behind. But he looked at me with wonder and said I was the strongest person in the entire world, that no matter how many times I was struck, no matter how many times I fell, I got back up.
Eyes luminous in the moonlight, she flattened a hand in the center of her chest.
You're right. A beautiful memory. You might hate your brother for what he did, but you love who he used to be.
He shrugged.
How easily you dismiss what so many of us dream of finding, she said quietly. I wish I could tell you vengeance is or isn't sweet, and you'll feel better when your brother is dead. But the evils of the past aren't washed away because the person responsible is gone.
You feel no better suspecting your abusers are dead?
A shake of her head, dark braids dancing over her breasts.
If they're dead, and I'm almost certain they are, my guilt and shame still have not eased.
Guilt? Shame? Don't you dare blame yourself for what happened all those years ago. A man, any man, even a boy, knows better always. They simply choose their pleasure over another's pain.
What am I to feel, then? Hating them does no good. It certainly doesn't hurt them. Worse, it gives my abusers power over my emotions, my life.
But look at you now, thriving, a queen of strength and bravery. The past might have dragged you down for a time, but you fought your way up. And maybe you didn't always stay up. Maybe you fell back down a time or two, but you kept fighting. Today you soar.
She seemed to bloom with every word, and it eased some of the tension inside him.
"Thank you, Puck."
He nodded in acknowledgement.
"Tell me about your mother," she said.
A realization. He was speaking with a woman, sharing his past, learning more about hers, what he'd once dreamed, his secret desire, and it was better than he'd ever hoped.
She was a gentlewoman, kind to everyone she encountered.
He reached out to sift Gillian's braids through his fingers.
Pure silk.
She would sing me to sleep while caressing my face.
"You said was."
She placed her hand over his and offered a comforting squeeze.
"She died?"
Bad memory. Seductive company. He should have kept his hands to himself. Now he only wanted more.
"Now?"
"She killed herself after the stillbirth of my only sister," he said.
"Oh, Puck, I'm so sorry."
A pang in his chest, new howls in his head.
"Tell me more about you.
Any siblings?" She shuddered but said,
"I always wanted a sister."
"Now you have one in Winter."
"And William, even Cameron."
She considered William a sister.
"I call foul. I'm sure the two males would love hearing themselves likened to a female sibling."
"Please, they'd both welcome compliments to their feminine side."
Puck curled his hands into fists.
"I don't want to talk about them."
Especially William, how he hated hearing the man's name on Gillian's lips. One day the bastard would have what Puck wanted most.
"All right. Tell me more about Sin. Why can't you take his crown?"
Gillian asked, sensing a dark change in Puck's mood.
"You're certainly strong enough, and I've seen you in action. Despite the demon, you're amazingly fierce."
His chest puffed up with pride, and she almost laughed. In so many ways, he was a typical male, proud to the max. In other ways, not so much.
"I am fierce. There's no one fiercer. I should be able to take the crown without issue, but for some reason I cannot. The man I no longer wish to discuss is the only one capable of the feat."
"The oracles named William specifically?"
"They did. Said he would live or die for you."
"Live or die?
For her."
"Sorry, Pucky, but no one's dying for me."
Although if William died on her behalf, she'd get that not-so-happily-ever-after, wouldn't she? Her friend would have died for nothing.
Did one prophecy feed off the other?
Foreboding struck her. If someone had to die...
"Put me in a game, Coach."
Gillian would literally jump on a grenade for William. Her life for his. Puck's, Winter's and Cameron's too, even Peanut's, Johanna's and Rosaline's, any of her people, really.
"As he who shall not be named asked for more details about your prophecy?"
Puck inquired.
She could have said, "I thought you didn't want to talk about him."
Instead, she opened up, as Puck had done with her, and told the truth.
"No, and I haven't offered either."
"You prefer to discuss these matters with your husband and no other."
Moving at a speed she couldn't track, he took her by the waist, lifted her, and reclined against the tree once more, ensuring she straddled his lap, her body pressed flush against his.
"I'm an excellent multitasker. While I'm listening to you speak, I can show you affection."
"I think you're showing me lust," she said, grinding her core against his erection. "I think I'm showing it right back." Hiss.
Affection and lust, then. Electric currents raced from every point of contact, only to pool between her thighs. Aches ignited in her breasts, between her legs, stronger than ever before. The heat of his skin tantalized her, while the calluses on his palms titillated her, a lethal combination for her resistance. As if she had any type of resistance against him. Their eyes met, held, Puck's indifferent mask falling away. He wasn't calm or unaffected by their proximity. He was agonized.
"Please hear me when I say these next words," he intoned. "The oracles have never been wrong."
"I do hear you. But there's a first time for everything. And what if we're looking at the prediction wrong, huh?"
He traced a fingertip along her jawline, as if he couldn't not touch her.
You ask what if often. Why do I find this trait adorable in you and irritating in me? The Dune Raider adorable. Why do I want to preen? I'm going to take a wild guess here. Maybe it's because I am adorable and you are irritating.
His gaze lifted.
She blinked innocently and merriment flashed in his eyes. Just a flash, but there all the same.
You're right, he said. There's a chance we're looking at this one all wrong. Perhaps the oracles meant you won't have a happy ending with William.
He wound his fist around a lock of her hair, not stopping until he reached her nape. The pressure, almost bruising. Okay, definitely bruising, but she liked it, choosing to believe he feared losing her and held on tight.
Perhaps you're meant to have a happy ending with someone else.
Perhaps Puck, the keeper of indifference, had gotten his hopes up. She thrilled. You mean a happy ending with a man who doesn't want my love?
Perhaps he only meant to protect himself when he uttered those words.
She thrilled more. What if they could make this work? Then other questions came. What if she made plans to stay with Puck, and she set her own prophecy into motion, the way Sin had? Would she one day destroy Puck's dreams?
Look past the bond, Puck said.
Did she hear longing in his tone?
Tell me how you feel about me.
Can't destroy his dreams, just can't. Get off, get out. She brushed her fingers over the stubble on his jaw and whispered, Let's forget about feelings and futures and focus on pleasure right this moment. She punctuated every word with a sway of her hips. Another hiss from him, as if he was pleased, then he scowled, as if he was ticked off.
William isn't worthy of you. You know this, yes?
I know I want you.
Want me now, but not later?
In lieu of an answer, she swayed her hips again. More pleasure, a flood of heat. With another curse and a hiss, he set her aside and stood.
I'm returning to camp. You should as well.
Wait, what? Silent now, he marched away, leaving her panting, aching, mourning the loss of his touch. What the heck had just happened? Chapter 27 Gillian waited 5, 10, 15 minutes before following Puck to camp, hoping her lust and anger would subside. Outwardly, she appeared calm, probably. Inwardly, she lamented and questioned. Puck had shut down when she'd, what, refused to promise her future to him, refused to disavow William? Her husband wanted her, that much she knew. He'd been hard as steel. Did he want more than her body, though? Did he hope to protect himself from her prophecy, not wanting his dream axed? Did indifference still fight him? The lords of the underworld had all suffered in some way or another, whenever they'd gone head to head with their demons. Puck used to weaken, but now, what happened? Could he allow himself to feel, or did the demon provide the ice and snuff out his emotions?
Over here, puppet,
William called from a sleeping bag he'd set up while she'd bathed and chatted with Puck. He patted the empty bag beside him. Before him, a small fire blazed, decorating his bronze skin in shades of gold. He was a beautiful sex god, but she had no desire to sample him. A few yards away, Winter and Cameron had erected mini-tents, easy to tell which tent belonged to which sibling. Winter had hung an immortal pelt over the door. A few years ago, she'd killed a man for offering a ride on his lap. Now the pelt served as a keep-out sign for anyone who might have a similar request. As she stretched out beside William, she saw no sign of Puck. Why are Winter and Cameron in their tents? Selfishness and obsession never passed up an opportunity to interact with others, a.k.a. entertain themselves. William reached over, intending to take her hand, only to grunt with irritation when she didn't take his and drop his arm to his side.
I put them in a 6-hour timeout for irritating me.
What now? Did you hurt them?
Hardly at all. They're fine, promise. Well, they will be fine if you let them rest.
Very well. Just be nice to them, okay? They're my family.
I'm your family, he said, his tone sharp.
She rotated to face him, sighed.
I still don't understand you. I mean, I get why you're here. You've mistakenly convinced yourself we're fated, blah, blah, blah. But why did you befriend me all those years ago? I know you didn't take one look at me and think she's the one. You slept with, like, 1,000 others. And let's face facts. I was clingy, needy, and confused.
I'm not hearing a problem, William said. She huffed and puffed before he admitted. It was your eyes. The first time they met mine, I felt as if I was staring into a raw, open wound that had festered for years. As a boy, I'd seen the same look in my own eyes every time I caught sight of my reflection. I wanted to help you. Heart squeezing with sympathy, she softly asked,
You were abused as a child? How had she not known?
I was raised in the underworld, and I didn't always have Hades as a protector.
So yes, he was. She should have guessed at the very least. I'm so sorry, William.
He offered no reply, and in the silence nocturnal insects serenaded them. In the distance thunder boomed, a storm approached. Worry not, he said. I've created a dome over our campsite. Ice daggers will never reach us.
Would they reach Puck, wherever he was? And what had Puck thought of her during their first meeting? Oh, wait, she could guess. Finally, I found my pawn. William sighed.
You're doing it again.
Doing what?
Thinking of him. I promise you, the bond and only the bond is responsible. I would never lie to you. Once the bond is severed, Pukin will be nothing but a nightmare you long to forget.
She couldn't even fathom it. What if he's not?
He will.
Desire for him had become an intricate part of her, a bodily function as necessary as breathing, a fire in her blood, a drug she craved. Though she was furious about his hot and cold attitude and confused about their future, she longed to curl up against him. Where is he? She asked,
keeping guard.
A muscle ticked under William's eye, but he smiled a charming smile.
Do you remember the time you asked me to teach you how to enjoy sex?
You said you'd forget that night, she muttered. So forget it.
I can't. He tapped his temple. Blame her.
Your brain is female?
All the best things are. And guess what? After your divorce, my answer will be yes. I'll start with...
No, she said, shaking her head.
No?
He asked and lifted a brow. Whispering. Speaking for his ears alone, she said, I'm not interested in you romantically, Liam. Not anymore. Maybe not ever. As a teen, she'd wanted some type of normalcy. With his love of games, his familial affection, and fierce protectiveness, he'd provided it. I don't want to hurt you, but I don't want there to be any misunderstandings between us. I wish things were different. I wish I felt...
There's no need to apologize. You are perfect, and your feelings are understandable. I have to work to win you, that's all. My mission has been set, and I will emerge victorious.
Stubborn man. I'm not perfect, not even close.
Name a single flaw, he challenged.
Well, for starters, I've killed a lot of people.
So have I. You know why? Because men are bastards, and bastards deserve to die. We did the world a favor. Doing the world a favor is good. Next.
A laugh burst from her, but she quickly sobered. I don't consider this next one a flaw, but you do. William, I'm in major lust with another man.
He ran his tongue over his straight white teeth. What is it you like about him exactly? Name something specific, something he can do for you that no one else can.
As easily as she'd listed William's attributes to Puck, she listed Puck's attributes to William. Life is a revelation to him. I'm a revelation. He lights up when he experiences new things with me. He appreciates how hard I fought to get where I am now. Though he's possessed by indifference, he does care for his people. He wants the best for them and for this realm, and he's willing to...
All right, enough, William said.
I'm sorry. Hurting him wasn't her intention. Go to sleep. Tomorrow is a big day. We enter the maze, face monsters and puzzles and whatever else Sin has cooked up.
And we officially begin your divorce proceedings.
She almost protested.
Almost. I won't keep you, Les.
Yes, she said, her tone hollow. We do.
Puck stalked the camp's perimeter, the snippet of conversation he'd overheard between Gillian and William, ringing in his ears, drowning out indifference.
Life is a revelation to him. I'm a revelation. He lights up when he experiences new things with me. Though he is possessed by indifference, he cares for his people. He wants the best for them.
Then she'd agreed about beginning divorce proceedings.
I pine for her, and she secretly wants to be rid of me, despite the things she likes about me. Or she tries to protect herself as I have.
Whatever her reason, she'd refused to answer his question about her feelings, which was an answer in itself. While they were together, she would use him for pleasure, nothing more. As he stalked around the pond, Puck hoped against hope some predator would spring from the shadows and attack. A fight to the death might improve his mood. Strange noises seeped from the maze, howls, moans, groans, screeches and screams. Each served as a warning, stay out or die. Evil created a dark curtain over the maze's entrance, allowing only the barest glimpse into what appeared to be a tropical forest. Evil born from sin, considering his younger brother had conjured every tree and trap. Had Sin known Puck would come for him at some point, despite the demon? Probably. Sin was many things, but foolish wasn't one of them. Tomorrow morning, nothing would stop Puck from entering the maze. The sooner he defeated Sin, the sooner he would be rid of William and Gillian. Puck needed to be rid of her, before he did something reckless, like abandon his people and realm for her, a woman who would abandon him when all was said and done. Damn her! How had she put him in this state with a single conversation, and why would she choose Puck over William after the divorce anyway? Why give up affection, fun, and familiarity? Why did Puck even want to keep her, despite the obstacles? The woman twisted him up inside and out and set him on edge. She also turned him on, leaving him fevered. Fever meant sickness. Sickness meant he needed a cure. He slammed his fist into the trunk of a tree, bark cutting his skin, the force fracturing his knuckles. Pain shot through his entire arm, but offered no relief from the pressure and strain inside him. Thunder rumbled, rattling the trees, the third time in the last 5 minutes. The storm grew closer. William had created some sort of magical cap over the campsite, but Puck had ventured outside the enclosure.
Would rather be plugged with ice daggers than accept any more help from that man.
Besides, the thick canopy of leaves overhead should keep him safe.
Not exactly apathetic now, huh?
He swung around, a dagger raised in reflex. As Gillian stepped into a stray beam of moonlight, a vision from his deepest fantasies, he sheathed the weapon with a trembling hand.
Go to sleep, he said,
his voice hoarse, his chest constricting and burning, as if he'd been scraped raw inside.
You need rest. I need peace. You don't want to be around me right now. I'm neither affectionate nor fun.
I'm sensing a theme, she said, staying put. Are you able to feel emotion if you don't summon ice, without suffering some kind of punishment? Or does the demon snuff out everything?
He turned his back on her. One more glance and he would lose control. He would take her, obstacles and consequences be damned.
Answer me, she demanded. I'm not leaving until you do.
The answer doesn't matter.
It matters to me. You matter, so tell me true. Can you feel for extended periods if you allow yourself? Or were you pretending the times I thought you'd warmed?
Yes, I can feel for extended periods, he snapped in a quiet voice.
More thunder, louder, closer. The pitter-patter of rain sounded next, followed by the whoosh of falling ice daggers. A cool breeze blew in, damp with dew.
What happens when you do? I know indifference doesn't weaken you anymore. Does he punish you in other ways? You said you needed to protect yourself. Protect yourself from what?
He needed her to go now. If she needed answers in order to leave, he would give her answers.
Yes, I'm punished, but not in the sense you think. I'm punished because I'm distracted. Because I forget what's important and endanger my goals. Because I hurt in ways I hadn't known were possible.
She flinched as if he'd struck her.
What if I won't let you forget your goals? Would you be with me while we can? You said you would, and you never lie to me.
He wanted this. He wanted this so badly. Still he resisted.
Without me, Will indifference regain power over you? She asked.
He offered a single curt nod.
For a time. But once we're parted, I'll rid myself of the demon the same way I rid myself of you.
And he would pray the fiend took his emotions,
all of this feeling. Puck loathed it more than ever and craved his icy, emotionless existence.
Again she flinched, but he refused to harbor any kind of guilt.
Why are you here asking these questions, Gillian?
I'm trying to understand how you can burn me up one minute but freeze me out the next.
Well, wonder no more. I want to keep you but can't, so I war with the things you make me feel. They are my enemy, and I fight my enemies with every ounce of my strength.
He snarled, and something inside him snapped. He spun, facing her, his chest expanding with raging desire and fury.
She took a step back, which only incited him further. Blood rushed into each of his muscles, causing them to bulge. Nothing more to say, he chided.
She raised her chin. You're clearly not done.
No, he wasn't. To be with you, I must condemn my realm to destruction and my people to pain. But what kind of man abandons his people? On the other hand, what kind of man abandons his wife? A wife he craves with every fiber of his being. A wife who will not want him back once she's set free.
Her eyes smoldered. I want you while we're together. Why isn't that enough?
Because. Just because.
Stop thinking about tomorrow. What do you want right now, in this moment?
In this moment? Her.
He couldn't see past the want, couldn't think past the need.
The two pulsed in his temples, his throat, and squeezed at his chest, vibrated throughout the rest of his body.
He wanted her, and he would have her, right now.
Walk around the sword no longer. Some wounds you bore, because anything less was worse.
If you want me while we're together, you'll have me, he vowed.
But you'll also have the fallout. I can barely deal with my emotions now. What do you think I'll feel after this?
I'll deal, she said, raising her chin another notch. And how could he do any less?
So be it.
Puck stalked toward his wife, his prey. As his long legs ate up the distance, tension lived and breathed inside him.
Good thing, because he couldn't breathe at all. But then he didn't need to. Soon, Gillian would do it for him.
When he reached her, he wrapped his arm around her waist, lifted her off her feet, and kept walking until he pressed her back against a tree. Their bodies smashed together, chest to breasts, erection to cradle, as he lowered his head and took possession of her mouth. His tongue tangled with hers in a mad frenzy. He poured himself into the kiss, feeding her every drop of his ferocity. Nothing held back. He was too aggressive, and he knew it, but there was no slowing down. He'd been pushed too far, control beyond him. And maybe she liked it. She combed her fingers through his hair and made a fist at his nape. Her other hand migrated to his chest.
Not the bird, he grated.
Without a word of complaint, she moved her hand to his shoulder and sank her nails in deep. Both actions were a silent demand. Puck was not to walk away from her, as if he could.
Off.
He stopped kissing her only long enough to lift her arms, and then her pretty dress over her head, freeing her breasts from confinement. Such perfect little handfuls, with dusky rose tips, his new favorite sight in all the realms. The moment his mouth resealed over hers, her hands returned to his nape and shoulder. Puck's hands worshipped those luscious mounds, luxuriating in the pearl-hard nipples.
"Touch me," he rasped into her mouth.
"Yes, yes." The hand on his shoulder slid down his chest, delved under the waistband of his pants. Silken fingers wrapped around his length, stoking his need higher and higher. Puck's roar blended with the next crack of thunder and the increasingly riotous patter of rain.
"You're so big," she said, between panting breaths. "More," he commanded. "Stroke more."
As his good, good lass stroked him up, down, up, he grew more frantic and set into her mouth with renewed vigor. Thrusting his tongue, sucking on hers, exacting a response, nipping her lower lip before running the plump flesh between his teeth. Only when she writhed against him did he tunnel a hand between her legs, rip away her panties, and slam two fingers inside her.
scream of pleasure, music to his ears. Her head fell back as she arched her hips, allowing him to drive his fingers deeper.
So wet, lass, so hot. You like having a part of me inside you.
Yes, I do, I do, I do more. He thrust in a third, and her inner walls clamped down, gloving him as she came and came and came.
Don't stop, she gasped out, her grip on his rigid length contracting.
Please, don't stop.
Not this time. Would rather die.
He took another nip at her lip before he pried her hand from his shaft. Sheer torture. Without the pressure she provided, pleasure-pain morphed into pain-pain.
Going to be worth it.
Puck dropped to his knees, fingers continuing to glide in and out of her slick heat. He positioned his mouth between her legs and licked. The sweetest honey on his tongue. He tasted her, he realized with awe. He hadn't tasted anything for thousands of years, but he tasted her, and he couldn't get enough. The little mewling sounds she made, heaven. Pressure built in his shaft, so good, but so much worse. He desperately needed to come. Could he?
This, Puck.
With her fingers wrapped around his horns, steering him, she rolled her hips forward.
This was worth anything.
He pressed and rubbed and flicked his tongue against her little bundle of nerves until her inner walls clamped down on his fingers and Gillian unleashed another broken scream. The newest climax turned her honey into wine, intoxicating him. He stayed down there, licking at her, nuzzling, until she quieted, until her very last shudder waned. As he rose, their eyes met, and the inferno he saw in those whiskey-rich depths sent his butterfly tattoo moving over his chest. Indifference hushed and hid, as if he couldn't handle the deluge of emotion.
Good boy.
Puck wrapped an arm around Gillian's waist and yanked her closer. Pivoting, he dropped to his knees and spread her open on a bed of moss and wildflowers.
Puck, my Puck.
Hers always. No, now. Only now. As her legs parted, welcoming him, he tore at the waist of his pants to free his throbbing shaft. He wouldn't penetrate her tonight, would only teach her to handle his length. And he would come, he would, so close already. They would have more nights like this, for he had a new goal, give her all the pleasure she had been missing. As he lowered his body onto hers, Gillian slapped her foot against his chest to stop him. Though he wanted to snap and snarl in response,
"Nothing keeps me from what's mine."
He merely arched a brow in question. She didn't notice, her hungry gaze remaining glued to his length.
Birth control?
No need. He stroked himself once, twice, before clasping her ankle to place a kiss on her calf.
No need?
He leaned down, hovering over her, and rasped,
"Get your hand wet, lass."
The furrow of confusion between her eyes. Once again, she parroted him.
Wet?
Wet, he confirmed. Only seconds ago, Gillian believed her body had been wrung out and incapable of experiencing another orgasm. The moment Puck had opened his pants, he taught her better. Pleasure had nearly burned her alive. Pleasure still burned her. Puck guided her hands between her legs and urged two of her fingers inside her core, along with one of his. For centuries, her own touch had brought her nothing but frustration and anger. Here, now, with Puck, the single stroke nearly sent her careening into another climax. Moaning, arching her back, she opened her legs wider, offering more, offering everything.
"Now wrap your fingers around my shaft," he commanded.
Eager, she obeyed. Oh, oh! The essence of her arousal provided an easy glide, allowing her to clasp him tighter. He rocked into her first stroke, then her second, his big body heaving over hers, his expression. Had any male ever been so beautiful? Caught up in the throes, because of me, his eyes were closed and his lips parted. His skin was flushed and dewy with sweat.
"The things you make me feel," he said,
now peering down at her. His inhalations sharpened and shallowed, the sounds he made, so carnal, so sexy.
"Want this never to end, but need you to squeeze tighter, lass."
Once again she obeyed.
"Get inside me, Puck, please."
She needed him to. What had he meant, no need for birth control? Could he not get her pregnant? Perhaps he planned to use magic. Or did he not want to enter her because he feared she had some kind of disease?
"I was tested after, just after. Haven't been with anyone since. I'm clean, I swear."
He stopped, just stopped, and she suspected the action, non-action, had to be killing him. Had the situation been reversed, she wouldn't have found the strength to pause. With his gaze steady on hers, he traced two fingertips along her jawline, a tender caress, a bead of sweat splashed onto her. No, not sweat. Cool raindrops were fighting their way through the treetops. Several caught in Puck's spiky black lashes.
"Never wanted anything more than I want you, inside of you," he intoned.
"But I'm not going to take you, not tonight." She swallowed a wealth of disappointment. "Because the others are so close?"
"Because we're going to experience everything."
He placed a gentle kiss on her lips, teasing her with his tongue, then lifted to his knees. "Going to leave her? No." "This is mine," she said, scrambling up to reclaim her grip on his shaft. As she stroked him harder, faster, his hips bucked. "I want your pleasure. Give it to me." All the things she'd wanted to do with a man, Puck was giving her in a single night. He'd kinda sorta had her for dinner. What they were doing now, an erotic dance and a true gift exchange. He'd made her come. Now she would do the same for him.
"Yes, yours. All yours."
He tangled a hand in her hair and cupped her ass with the other, yanking her closer, slanting his lips over hers and kissing the air from her lungs. Then, "Oh!" He used the hand on her ass to reach around and glide the tip of his fingers against the throbbing heart of her. Gillian began rocking back and forth, chasing those fingers while stroking Puck's massive erection. Soon they were writhing against each other, mimicking the motions of sex. Still chasing, still stroking, desperate. "How are you? How can I?" she cried out as pleasure exploded inside her once more, stronger than before, earth-crumbling, life-changing. For one blissful moment in time, absolute contentment filled her. She had everything she'd ever wanted, everything she would ever need.
"Lass, my lass, you're doing it, you're making me, I'm coming."
His head fell back and he roared up at the trees as his hips jerked again and again and hot seeds spilled over her hand. Once they calmed, they washed in the pond. He shed his pants along the way, presenting her with his naked form. So beautiful. So perfect. When they finished, they returned to their spot in the flowers, where Gillian cuddled up against him and rested her head on his shoulder. The tension had drained from him, from them both. "Puck?" she asked.
"Aye."
"That was fun. And amazing and wonderful."
"Aye,"
he repeated. "Don't freeze me out," she whispered. "Not tonight." He pressed another soft kiss into her temple.
"Not tonight,"
he agreed.
Chapter 28
Gillian spent the night snuggled into Puck's side, his heat and scent wrapped around her just like his arms. His soft legs acted as the warmest blanket of all time. What they'd done, better than her fantasies, and he hadn't even penetrated her. How would he treat her tomorrow? Would the Iceman return? What would she do if ever the Iceman returned for good? She dozed lightly on and off, too afraid to fall into a deep sleep. She doubted Puck slept at all. He remained tense and on alert, ready to slay anyone who neared their oasis. Just before the suns rose, his body went lax. Gillian extracted herself from his embrace, pulled on her dress. A quick glance at her husband. Anything more and she might not be able to walk away. He maneuvered to his side, his eyes closed, his expression soft, almost boyish. Almost. Because with his muscle mass, he could never pass for anything other than all man. Regret pursued her relentlessly as she snuck back into camp, fed and watered Peanut, then slid into her sleeping bag.
"Everything you'd hoped for and more?" William asked.
For the first time, he sounded possessed by indifference, his voice devoid of emotion. She heaved a full-body sigh and offered the truth, whole truth and nothing but the truth. "Yes." And she would not feel guilty. "I like him, Liam."
"I told you, the bond likes him. You don't know him."
He'd blamed the bond before. So had she, so had Puck. Didn't change how she felt. Wasn't long before the suns appeared overhead, and Puck strode into camp, backlit by bright golden beams. Her heart fluttered, and her belly clenched as she remembered the things they'd done, the things she still wanted to do. He'd promised her everything. He'd bathed, his hair damp once again. But he hadn't put on a shirt, his muscles and tattoos on spectacular display. He wore a clean pair of pants. He never glanced her way. Did he regret what they'd done? She studied the blankness of his expression, hoping to catch some sort of micro-reaction the closer he came. But the Iceman had returned with a vengeance. Why? Why did he not want to feel while indifference couldn't punish him? Was this part of the fallout he'd mentioned?
I took the liberty of conjuring new uniforms. Still refusing to glance in her direction, he tossed her a T-shirt. Confused, she sat upright and studied the garment he must have used magic to create.
Scripted across the bosom, "I like to puck." Gillian snort laughed. How adorable and surprising.
"Oh, goody, a cleansing cloth for my groin."
William flashed to Puck's side and commandeered a shirt. "I'll be back," he said, before disappearing from view. As Gillian changed into her new shirt and a pair of leather pants, Puck turned away. "Afraid of what he'll feel if he watches me, or uninterested." "Going to pretend last night never happened?" she asked when she finished brushing her hair and teeth.
"Would be best for both of us. But I can't pretend."
He faced her, letting her glimpse the fire blazing in his eyes. Already buzzing with anticipation and need, she took a step toward him. He took a step toward her. Winter and Cameron emerged from their tents.
"Uniforms," Puck grumbled, and tossed both of the siblings a T-shirt. "Go Team Puckillion."
Always grumpy in the mornings, Winter and Cameron mumbled nonsense as they made their way to the river. Gillian took another step toward Puck, only to stop when William reappeared. Ugh, time conspired against them. William sported wet hair and a clean black T-shirt that hugged his biceps, as well as a pair of camo pants with multiple pockets. Silent, he packed up his gear. Gillian hated hurting him, hated seeing him so upset and distant, but she couldn't give him what he wanted. When the siblings returned a short while later, William said,
"Now that the band is back together, we should go. The sooner we start, the sooner we finish."
"And the sooner Puck lets me go." Stomach twisting, she approached Peanut. A waft of heat scented with peat smoke and lavender brushed against her nape as Puck came up behind her. He took her by the waist and hefted her atop the chimera. He said nothing, just kept walking over to... Okay, she'd already forgotten which nut name she'd given his ride. Walnut? Pecan? Whatever, she called the guy Lil Nutsack. The others mounted up, with William in the lead, Cameron and Gillian in the middle, and Winter and Puck in the rear. They trotted to the entrance of the maze.
"Let the games begin," William vanished inside the fog.
As sand dunes disappeared, evil prickled Gillian's skin, chilling her to the bone. A forest replaced the surrounding sands. A creepy forest with twisted, gnarled trees, insects, and human bones scattered across the ground. Remnants of those who had entered the maze and fallen prey to its horrors? Gillian swatted a pesky fly the size of a grapefruit as she examined every tree, hoping to find a Quisley Macroida. Nope, no luck. What did she see? Cedars, pines, and evergreens teeming with snakes and spiders. She shuddered and reached for a dagger, frowned. Empty sheath. A glance over her shoulder revealed a glint of silver just outside the fog. Hang on. She hopped off Peanut and rushed over, denied. Her brain rattled against her skull as she slammed into an invisible wall and ricocheted backward. Though dizzy, she marched forward and crashed into the invisible wall once again. Puck and William dismounted too and pushed at the wall.
"We're stuck," Puck said and frowned. "Magic holds us here without our weapons. Mine are missing, too."
"Mine, too," Winter and Cameron said in unison.
"I managed to keep mine," lips pursed.
William flashed nowhere. He reappeared in the same spot and scowled.
"I can't flash outside the maze."
"Great, wonderful. All we can do is keep moving forward, then, and borrow your weapons, of course." "By borrow, she means keep forever," Winter announced. "A gift given to this gal is a gift never to be returned." They stalked to their chimeras, where William passed out a surprising number of daggers and swords he pulled from nothing but air. Mounted once more, they plodded onward, staying near the river, careful of every step. The sense of rot and decay seemed to marinate in the air as the temperature dropped.
"There are landmines," Puck said, easing Lil Nutsack around.